You don't have to be a guest worship associate when you are the high bidder on the you choose the sermon topic. Robert just chose to go that way, and thank you very much for starting us off in this Earth Day service with some hard facts and also some hope and creative ways of thinking about how we can shift the way we live on this earth. Robert came to me and framed the question this way. He said, we talk a lot about abundance. Guilty. And how important it is to have an abundance mindset. I agree. And he said, but, you know, looking at how we live, that can get us into trouble. For example, we now have greener and greener forms of energy. And does that mean we're using less energy? No, we are using more. So how are we going to live more sustainably if we keep having this attitude of, there's plenty, there is plenty? I thought that's a really good question. As somebody who, I won't go down this road far, but I think a lot, and I have I've talked a lot about having an abundance mindset rather than a scarcity mindset. For example, here we are at our annual meeting. We're talking about what we want to fund. How can we? We are appreciating our beautiful building, buildings to which I fall into a scarcity mindset about myself. And I get corrected. It's so important to look around and realize we have so much. We can do what we need to do and what we want to do. Like a couple of weeks ago when the depot manager for the Human Library, which is going to be hosted, we are hosting it here with our beautiful facilities in 2 weeks. If you don't know more about the Human Library, I'll tell you more about it after the service. So Leslie came to check out the space. She belongs to another UU congregation in the area, and she wanted to know what kind of rooms were available and so on, and she had never been here before. And as I was showing her around, she kept saying, wow, wow, there is so much more here than we need. This is gorgeous. This is fabulous. And it was so good for me, who, you know, I spend too much of my time thinking about how are we going to raise the money? And when are we going to paint that building? And how are we going to fix that sewer problem? And it's so easy to see scarcity instead of abundance. So what a wonderful way to celebrate Earth Day and go into our annual meeting, just looking at this beautiful place that we've created, the abundance of people and talents and loves and great conversations and the physical abundance we have around us as well. Okay, well, so that's great. But the problem still remains. How are we going to think about abundance? There's no question that nature has tremendous abundance. I know Tim has some photos for us. Like the coral reef, for example. This is of the Great Barrier Reef. Just a tremendous, a booming profusion of life forms that live together, have lived, in this case, for about 20 million years with all that they need right there, feeling the abundance, if invertebrates could phrase it that way. There's an ebb and flow. I don't mean about the water. I mean in the life forms, in all biomes. Some species have a boom year, some have a bust. Once in a while, creatures go extinct entirely. A species will disappear entirely. But on the whole, the system is in equilibrium. This particular system hasn't been around long enough to suffer too many mass extinctions. But the Earth as a whole, once in a while, there's a mass extinction. And because there is so much abundance, because there is so much diversity and all the resilience that builds into the system, they come back, we come back even from that. So when we share these beautiful photos of the earth and its abundance, I can feel this sort of sense of the other shoe. uh-oh, where do we fit into this? And this feeling that those of us who pay attention to the climate, everyone here, finds hard to escape of, we're the problem here. There's all this abundance and then we come along to wreck things. So I want to preach to you today that we are not bad news. Despite the problems, despite the very real threat that the way human beings have been living poses to this amazing abundance, we are still part of the good news. The good news that there is an incredible interdependent web of existence. It is all sacred, each piece of it and the whole thing, and we are part of that. And we are sacred too. It is all good, and we are part of that goodness. And we feel it in how much we love this planet, how much we love our lives, how much we want human community to thrive. And that what we value most about human community is not the using up of these resources, even though we know we do and we need to think about and change that. We need to. But what we most deeply value about human community is those aspects that don't use up much in the way of resources at all. We value friendship. We value making music and art together. We value learning from one another in conversation. We value inventing new ways and discovering new ideas. And that is all part of this incredible abundance. We too are wired to produce and interact the way the species in a reef or a forest or a taiga do. Now, part of that is that the Earth nature observes limits, which is to say, it lives in equilibrium. There's balance. More is not better in natural processes, right? If there's enough energy to do what you need to do, great. You don't go out and burn up more energy if you are a sea anemone or a coral. And that's what makes these systems sustainable. Each species and each individual within the species taking what it needs and giving out what it's got, and together the system balances for millions and millions of years, hundreds of millions in some cases. Human beings know how to do this. We know how to do this. Because there are so many examples of human civilizations, including some still going today, that have lived for thousands of years in balance, in a state of equilibrium with each other and their natural environment. Again, with ebbs and flows, ups and downs, good and bad years, but on the whole, maintaining equilibrium, not putting out more waste into the system than it can handle, not taking in more than all the other things can handle. There are many, many examples, many models, and this is a short sermon, so I won't go into all of them, but Robert made reference to thinking ahead to seven generations, and that comes to us from, I believe, the Iroquois Nation. Pardon me if I'm remembering that wrong. It's definitely one of the peoples of the Americas that lived on this land for many years, many, many, many generations, thousands of years, in much better equilibrium than we have managed in the last couple hundred years, because of that principle of thinking not only of the balance of us with the current environment, but seven generations hence. It's a good rule. How will things be in seven generations? Make your decisions according to that. Clearly, we haven't been doing that too well. I know. That's still the bad news. But the good news is, we really know how. This culture that has forgotten that or gotten off track That's a bit of an anomaly in human history. There's a lot of wisdom right around us and in this room, thank you, Robert, about how to do it the way human beings have done for most of our history. So where does abundance come in? Well, I think it comes down to there being at least two different ideas of abundance. I'm thinking of two, and there's one that we get taught, I think, in this rather anomalous culture. One that we are trying to counter in this congregation and in the values that we teach our children and remind ourselves of. And that is that kind of abundance that I can do, use, eat, take anything I want without restrictions. Right? Kind of the abundance of a toddler. I cry, I want something, give me, and it comes my way. Okay. You know, that works up to a point. It's only a very narrow kind of abundance, though. And in fact, I think it's actually built on a kind of scarcity model, you know, that I better get mine before it gets used up. But again, I won't go down that road today. But that's one kind of abundance. And it's the kind of abundance, I think, that leads to, oh, now that I have all these green sources of energy, I can use more, more, more. Well, you didn't need that more, you know, a year ago, so maybe you don't need it now. And that brings me to the second model of abundance. We've heard about it a little bit already today, but I'll share with you an anecdote from Kurt Vonnegut Jr. On the death of Joseph Heller. True story, word of honor. This is Vonnegut speaking. Joseph Heller, an important and funny writer, now dead, and I were at a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island. I said, Joe, how does it make you feel to know that our host only yesterday may have made more money than your novel, Catch-22, has earned in its entire history? Don't you think Kurt Vonnegut must have been a real fun guy to go to a party with? How does that make you feel, Joe? And Joe said, I've got something he can never have. And I said, what on earth could that be, Joe? And Joe said, the knowledge that I've got enough. Not bad. Rest in peace. Joseph Heller and Kurt Vonnegut were both quite pessimistic in their way, so I will just correct, if I may, Joseph Heller in one way. Even that host, the billionaire on Shelter Island, it's not true that he can never have that sense. He can. He can. It might come to him hard, because the first model of abundance is working for him. More, 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 whatever I want to buy. When you've got $1 billion, you'll never run out. But that kind of abundance that is enough, that knows I have enough, that works for everybody. Do we know when we have enough? It's like having a lot of money in the bank, my friends. It's just as good. If we are fortunate enough to have enough, to have the wisdom to know it. In nature, that's called balance, equilibrium. And so, no, when we live that way, we are not a cancer on this earth. We are not a scourge. We humans have the capacity to live in balance, to live with enough. And here's some more good news. There is enough. There really is enough to go around for every species and every human being on this earth to have what we need. And some of what we just want just for fun too. And in our hopes of getting there to that wisdom, we have lots of models, including Robert's creative thinking that can help us to shift to that mode of abundance. Help us shift ourselves and our society there. In short, we are something else that the earth abounds in. We are creative. This earth creates things, new species, new biospheres even, over and over again. Just creating new things. Let's try this, let's try that, let's see how it works. That's part of this incredible abundance. It's part of the balance, is this endless variety and novelty. And it is part of what can make a planet that does have its limits enough.